Well, it's a blessing to be with you tonight, and for those of you who are here for the first time, I am one of them as well. But I thank God that you're all here tonight, nonetheless. Now, if you have a Bible, please, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. My brother David just gave me a great confirmation of what I'm speaking on tonight because he quoted part of it in the meeting. It's amazing how the Lord can work in a way like that, that perhaps you've come here tonight. Perhaps you've just come along at the invitation of another. Perhaps you're here tonight merely out of curiosity. Perhaps you've come here and there are many other things you could be doing. But we're not here just to impress you with a time of oratory or some public speaking. But friends, we stand up here with this book open, the Word of God, the Bible. And we have one message, as Brother David's been saying. It's the message you're going to hear every night. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Friends, turn with me to Luke chapter 5, if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please don't worry. I'll read it for us all clearly. But go down, please, to verse 27 of Luke chapter 5. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Friends, what we have just read together, and what Brother David read tonight as well, is not simply a story or a historical document. But friends, we stand up here with the authority that this is the Word of God. And may God just bless it to us in our little consideration together before we close this evening. The Lord Jesus, as he went around, interacted with many people in his day and his time. There were many people who heard the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us of multitudes who heard the Lord Jesus when he walked here on the earth, when he taught and he did the miracles that were all around. You know, there were several people that the Lord Jesus came to and told them to follow him. This man, Levi, who goes by another name in Matthew's gospel, his name is Matthew, and he later wrote that gospel. The Lord Jesus comes to him and finds him exactly where he is. The Lord Jesus doesn't give him a pre-warning and says that tomorrow I'm going to come and see you. The Lord Jesus came to him exactly as he was. Let me tell you a little bit about this man, Levi or Matthew, or whatever name you want to take it by. And this man here was a publican, and that is a title is used in the New Testament for those who worked with the enemy, the Romans. It was those who would collect taxes with despised people. Those who would perhaps cheat others. If the tax was set at 20%, then they would collect 23% and keep 3% for themselves. These were often greedy people, dishonest people. And they had such a dislike amongst their communities, and yet they would do the things they did for their own gain, their own profit. The Lord Jesus didn't come to the best man in the city this day. The Lord Jesus didn't come and find the most honorable man he could. But there, sitting at the seat of custom, doing his business, the Lord Jesus simply comes to this man exactly where he is. Friends, the great thing about the gospel is that it comes to you exactly where you are. Now, the gospel, the Lord Jesus doesn't give you 24 hours to clean up your life before you come to the meeting. The Lord Jesus comes to you exactly where you are tonight. And you know, this message that he had for this man on this day is the same message that he has for you. And it's the message you're going to keep on hearing. That he found this man exactly where he was. And he simply said this, follow me. Follow me. You know, we've already heard about a great word tonight, repentance. about a turning away, about a change, about a realizing and a pivoting moment in someone's life. And this man, Levi, demonstrates a great repentance in his life. Because what did our reading tell us? That he left all, rose up, and followed him. Friends, I have a sincere question for you tonight. What keeps you from coming to the Lord Jesus? Do you know there were other people the Lord Jesus called in his time? And he said, follow me. And some of them would say, let me go and do this first and I'll come and follow you. A man would say, I need to go bury my father. Let me go do this first. And others would make excuse about following the Lord Jesus. Friends, what keeps you from following the Lord Jesus? Is it friends? Is it family, work, pressures, what people would think about you? If you suddenly said that I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, perhaps this man Levi, as we already know, he has many friends who are also tax collectors. He was a rich man and he had so much to gain by being a tax collector. The fact that he left it was to his detriment financially. It was a loss to him. But you know, perhaps he had heard something about this Lord Jesus. Perhaps he had heard about a man who could open the eyes of the blind. Perhaps he had heard about the amazing things this man had done. And he realized that the petty things of life, that in this man there was something so much more. Perhaps he was sat there that day with the coins stacked high on his table as people came to pay their tax. And perhaps that day it just wasn't satisfying him as it used to. Perhaps he was looking at the money stacked high and he could have thought, wow, I'm going to be a rich man. I'm going to build an extension on my house. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But you know, the immediate pleasures of life were instantly blinded when the Lord Jesus stepped onto the scene and said those two words, follow me. You know, there's an old hymn that we sometimes like to quote.
Sorry. That's the hymn I've been singing in my head on the way here, follow me.
Yeah.
And you just said the hymn, I had to interrupt you, sorry.
No problem.
It's making me smile because no. Follow me, that's my favourite hymn. I haven't heard it for years.
No, I'm very glad.
That
there's an old hymn that we sometimes like to quote, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And there's a line in that hymn that says, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But you know, this man, Levi, stands up, leaves everything that he had, and all the things that were keeping him away from the Lord Jesus. That's that word, repent. He turns to the Lord Jesus, and he returns to his house, and he invites all of his friends over. The Lord Jesus is going to be there, and perhaps other tax collectors like him, perhaps people who had scraped so much off the top that they had oppressed others, they had got gain by illegitimate means, they were all there. And friends, I thank God you're here tonight. I don't know many of you. I don't know your story. You don't know my story. You know, God does. He knows your name, your story, your address, everything that's led you to Coles Hill tonight, into the Cameo Suite here in May of 2026. Whatever it is that has led you here tonight, friends, that question is still posed to you. What keeps you from following the Lord Jesus? It may not be in the exact way that Levi had it, but what is it? You know, this isn't a time for just a public talk. This isn't a TED talk. This is an appeal. This is a passion that we have. Because we remember the night that we sat in a room perhaps like this, or in a church, or in a home, and someone spoke to us. And that question was posed to us, what keeps you? I remember it well. Just a young lad, that I realized the things in my life, my sin, that there is a finality to this message. It's why we preach with passion. It's why we preach with urgency. Not because we love you and we care for you and we know that it's appointed unto men once to die. The Bible says that. If we went out to Coles Hill this evening, and we ask people that it's appointed unto men once to die, I don't think we'd find anyone that would disagree. But I only quoted that verse in half, friends. is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friends, it is a serious thing, the gospel. It's a serious thing, and it's why we've had such a desire. It's why we've prayed and longed to be here over these weeks, to come and tell you about a Saviour, one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, these righteous people who had come to this house, this great house, and a great feast had been put on, and the high-minded came along. The scribes and the Pharisees. You'll find many contrasts in this book of Luke of the publicans, the lowlifes, and the Pharisees who think themselves so great. You know, only a few chapters on this book, you have two of them that go up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee prays there so everyone can see him in his ostentatious way, and he prays, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. You know, that publican who perhaps everyone hated him, perhaps none of his neighbours spoke to him, perhaps his life had been miserable, perhaps he had just come to the end of himself, he simply fell down. And the Bible tells me he wouldn't even lift up his eyes. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, these same people come to Lord Jesus and they come to his disciples and say, why does your master eat and drink with sinners? Friends, it's an amazing thing tonight that Lord Jesus isn't just on offer to you, but you know, he is the friend of sinners. Perhaps one of the things that keep you coming from the Lord Jesus is an anxiety. He'll never take me. There's no room for me with the Lord Jesus. There was room for Levi. There was room for the thief on the cross, has already been quoted. And I love the words that are said in John's Gospel, that he that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There is room for everyone. No matter, like David said, sin is a debt. And it doesn't matter what your debt contains. Whether it's lies, whether it's life problems, whether it's drugs or alcohol or violence or hatred or whatever's in there, all of it can be cleaned tonight. David quoted a children's chorus he loved, and when I preach the gospel, there's always one that comes to my mind about debt. When a little chorus that we sing with the children back home in Rugby, where I'm from, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And you know, for someone who has that, for someone who's been to the Lord Jesus, for someone who's realized they're a sinner, for someone who's looked to the man who died on the cross, and realize that he's my only hope. That little chorus ends by like this, and it says, and now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace the whole day long, for Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And what does he say there to those Pharisees? What does he say there to those people who looked down on others as sinners and forgot they were sinners themselves? He said that they as a whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You don't go to the doctor when you're well. It would be a waste of time. The Lord Jesus here is the great physician for those who have a great sickness. Those who are not in apparel do not need a saviour. And friends, we are in apparel. That every day life goes on. Every day your life becomes a little shorter. However many years you have lived, young or old. I'm 24 years old and I know people who have gone into eternity. There are people today, perhaps in the Coleshill area, who woke up this morning with plans, aspirations, ambitions, ideas, and they are in eternity. Death is something that happens to other people, isn't it? Death is never something that we think will happen to us. It is something that happens on the news. It is something that happens to everyone else but me. Friends, time is gliding swiftly by.
Mm.
You know, there were occasions when the Lord passed by people as well. We think of a man who was blind called Bartimaeus, and he heard that Jesus was passing by. And you know, he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd said, "Shh, shh, shh. He doesn't want to hear you. He doesn't want to speak to you, little blind beggar at the side of the road. Jesus doesn't have time for you." And he kept crying, "Jesus, have mercy on me." If he had left it, he may have never had an opportunity again.
Mm.
Jesus perhaps would never have passed by that way again. Friends, I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us can. The Bible tells us, do not boast of tomorrow, because you do not know what a day will bring. And there are two things that are certain. That either our lives will come to an end, or the Lord Jesus is coming back. Because he is alive. He died on that cross and he rose again. And he said, if I go away, I will come again. And he's coming in an hour that you do not expect. He's coming in a moment, in a blink of an eye, when you do not know. And all that trust him, all that know him, all who heard that call, follow me. The Bible says that we will caught up, will be caught up to be forever with the Lord. Friends, what keeps you from following the Lord Jesus? What keeps you from making that simple step of faith, of realizing whatever it is in my life that stops me being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, whatever it is that stops me trusting him, believing him, depending on him for my salvation? Friends, you can only answer this question. That salvation is something between you and the Lord tonight. I can't do it for you. Brother David can't do it for you. None of us can. All we are is a voice. All we are is a sound tonight to bring this message to you as it was once brought to us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And again, we emphasize that verse that we've posted through the doors in Coles Hill and Water Orton and other areas. And back in February, when we were in Shardend as well. For God so loved the world, put your name in there, that he so loved Aaron, he so loved your name, whoever you are, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll close with a word of prayer and then we'll have a hymn.